This is the regular session of the Mayor and Council of the City of Bisbee, County of Cochise, and State of Arizona, to be held on Tuesday, November 20th, 2018, at 7 p.m. in the Cochise County Board of Supervisors Hearing Room, 1415 Melody Lane, Building G, Bisbee, Arizona. And the time is actually, what is it? It ain't 7. It is, whatever. 7:31. Thank you. And the record reflect the reason being the last meeting running over. Thank you, ma'am. Would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Anna Klein?
Here.
Councilmember Joan Hansen?
Here.
Councilmember Frank Davis?
Here.
Mayor David M. Smith?
Here.
Councilmember Bill Higgins?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Douglas Dunn?
Here.
Councilmember Gabe Lindstrom is excused. City staff, Robert Smith, City Manager, Ashley Coronado, City Clerk, Terry Bagley, Finance Director, Dwayne Wallace, Operations Manager, Alberto Chavez, Police Chief, George Castillo, Fire Chief, Eldor Junio, City Attorney.
Thank you, ma'am. For our moment of silence, I would like again, unfortunately, bring up the fires in California, the incredibly destructive, and the fact of loss of life of over 80 people with still close to, I think it's the last year, like 800 still missing, and the fact that two of our men with one of our pieces of equipment was over there fighting those fires, and they came home safely on Saturday, so they are back in Bisbee and they are safe, and we certainly are thankful for that and thankful for their service. So we could take just a minute and a moment of silence. Thank you. Would you please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? Thank you. Thanks for being here. Would the council like to vote about whether Mr. Wallace is allowed to take his tie off? I didn't want him to be too uncomfortable.
I think he can loosen it a little bit.
Oh, my. All right, we have no proclamations. Pardon? Yes. The one I just...
Yes, sir.
That's okay. There is a proclamation. And it's the Proclamation Annual Festival of Lights. Whereas the annual Festival of Lights commences this day to launch the Bisbee holiday season, and whereas members of the community in the surrounding area donate their time and talents to participate, bring the community together, and to launch the holiday lights within the City of Bisbee. And now, therefore, I, David M. Smith, Mayor of the City of Bisbee, hereby proclaim November 23rd, 2018, as Festival of Lights Day in the City of Bisbee, and cordially invite all citizens, visitors, and the surrounding area to attend the Festival of Lights from 4:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Friday, November 23rd, 2018. I do hereby set my hand and cause the great seal of the City of Bisbee to be affixed to this document, dated the 23rd day of November, 2018, David M. Smith, Mayor. Thank you, and this is at City Park. So we would love for everybody to show up and watch the fun that mostly kids are gonna have, but adults have a good time too. So we're gonna go to call to the public. Mr. Richard Green. Welcome, Mr. Green. You know the drill.
Yeah, and I'm off. Hi, everybody. I just wanted to bring up my disappointment in Proposition 127 that failed to pass, requiring the state of Arizona to increase its renewable energy portfolio from the current 15% to 50%. APS totally basically lied about how much it would be per month. They said it was $1,000 per month increase. My research found it was only $25 increase per month over 6 years, and that's close to the average increases. So I don't know, I'm just disappointed. And this is after the IPCC report came out. We have 12 years to turn this whole system around to solve this problem of pollution and climate change. The administration is undoing all the conservation efforts of past administrations. The state of Arizona is not doing anything that I can see. We have 6% solar, and that's ludicrous. We should be way ahead of that. We have so much sun here. I support the local Alice Hammers petition to close its account, the city of Bisbee's accounts at Wells Fargo. And according to Carrie Bagley, that the requests for bids went out. So please look at that closely. Wells Fargo was found guilty of identity theft, thousands of people writing ghost accounts, and they do finance unscrupulous behaviors like many Wall Street banks. So I encourage everybody to bank locally, invest in your community, support local businesses, donate to local nonprofits like Ecoasis in Tintown, the Tintown Shelter, or Gore Park Lunches. It is tax deductible. Get fire conscious. My aunt just lost her home in Paradise, California, so it could happen here. We have a huge forest canopy to deal with on the north slope here in Old Bisbee. Flooding can happen here, so maybe we could look at some of the check dams and maybe digging them out, because it could happen here. Water is an issue. We have 3 days of water if the grid goes down, so maybe we need to build some more cisterns and dig out some of these old wells and test the water, test the soil. I encourage people to think adaptation, resilience, and regeneration for the worst case scenario, because it's not going to get any better. That's my pessimistic point of view. So sorry to be a downer, but it looks like that's the way it goes sometimes. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Green. Roy Goodman. Mr. Goodman? Okay. Accounts payable.
I move that we pay accounts payable in the amount of $203,800.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I second.
We have a motion. We have a second. Do we have questions? Yes, ma'am.
Why are we now redacting on accounts payable?
Oh, we're redacting employee names, I think. Am I right? I think those are employee names that are being redacted.
Yep.
But it provides the data as to which division's buying it and for what purpose.
I know, but we never previously redacted. That's why I'm asking, why are we doing this now?
We never provided all of this information until now.
No, there were names.
On occasion, there were names. Not in this particular form. This is a different form. But that's the answer. You don't want it redacted? We can certainly talk to legal and to the city manager about it.
Well, I just wanted to hear from the city manager why.
Okay, city manager, why?
From time to time, there's reimbursements that we provide to employees for shoes and shirts and equipment, and we know what department that's in, we know which employee that is, we know whether or not it's within the budgeted authority for that. And apart from me, I've asked that staff redact the personal names of employees from those types of things. I don't think I should be subject to that, but I do think that the guys working the front line, we're glad that we can provide them with shoes and pants and shirts, but I would rather their names not be associated with the accounts payable documentation, at least what we're circulating to the public. no legal reason, just trying to be courteous.
All those in favor of paying accounts payable, signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Same sign. Motion carried. Approval of consent agenda. We have two items. Item A, approval of the resignation of Marie Minor from the Committee on Disability Issues. And item B is approval of the appointment of Kathy Wright to the Committee on Disability Issues. Council, does anybody have a, want any, either of those pulled for further discussion? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion.
Mayor, I...
Did you have a question?
No, no.
Okay. I move to approve the consent agenda items A and B.
Second.
Thank you. We have a motion. We have a second. Ms. Coronado?
Councilmember Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Davis?
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Dunn?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item number three. Discussion of possible approval of the proposed lighting plan at Grassy Park and the Bisbee Mining and Historical Museum, Phase 3 of the Copper Queen Plaza Revitalization Project. I apologize. And we have both Mr. Wallace and Kaylin Cummins. Come on down.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Over the past couple of months, I was made aware of a promise made to us by Supervisor English from the Cochise County Board of Supervisors, where they would be, they are willing to donate a sum of money to finish Grassy Park, the Grassy Park project. The museum, Carrie Gustafson, museum director, she reached out to Mr. Al Hopper, who donated his time and his expertise to help design a lighting plan for the Grassy Park project. I believe you should have the attachments as well. And I will say that there's a page missing that I removed because it had the actual, the cost per line of all the fittings, and I didn't think that would be good to go public if I'm going to go for bid on the entire project. So I thought that was probably a smart idea to pull that away. I think it's going to be the great, I guess, final piece for Grassy Park.
Absolutely.
This was brought to the Parks and Rec Committee, who did approve, as far as a suggestion to approve the plan. I would suspect that upon approval by the council, and some banging on my point of Mr. Hopper to help me draft the RFQ for the actual, for services, I hope probably by the end of December, beginning of New Year, to have a contract before you for approval on the plan. It's, you know, I want to make sure we do this right. We will accept any commercial contractor for this, local or not, and it will be a competitive bidding process.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Cummins, you're the chair of the Parks Committee.
That I am, and we approve.
Thank you for being here, by the way. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Happy to wait. Yeah, we approved it wholeheartedly. We thought it was a good idea. We liked the fixtures. It seems like a good safety plan and hopefully reduce a little vandalism in the park. What do you need to hear? I'm talking right into this. We approved the plan, Parks and Rec.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Mr. Hopper, you're signed up also, and we'd like to hear the nitty-gritty here.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Hopper.
And, of course, if I might, the important thing is this is of no cost to...
Albert Hopper, architect.
I worked with Carrie Gustafson, the director of the museum, on this project, as I had worked with her on the revitalization of the earlier project, which includes landscaping and new hardscape and so forth. This project consists of four different types of fixtures. All of them, by the way, meet the shielding requirements of the city of Bisbee. And the most of them are also dimmable, so there will be ability to adjust the lights, and they're also programmable so that they can be turned on and off at various times during the night. The first type of fixture are two pole lights that shine onto the mining museum. The poles are 25 feet high, and so that they will be shining down onto the building rather than up into the sky. I had an illumination engineer do a calculation on the foot candles and how far that light would be spread out. And behind, as you get back behind or along the side of the mining museum, the light goes down to 0 foot candles so that there won't be no overlight onto other properties. We also looked at the possibility of being up at the Copper Queen Hotel and looking down and seeing the light. That will not happen because the lights are down and they have shields over them. Again, those lights are programmable, but it would add a very nice illumination to the front of that building. The second type of lights are solar bollards, and they are located at the entry walkways into the park. And those are basically about 3 foot high, and they have a covering over the top. All these fixtures, by the way, are LED fixtures, so they will have a long lifespan. The third type of fixture, C, is a pole light that actually has a gooseneck on it and has a canopy. And this will light the sidewalk across from the mining museum over to, I guess it's called the Copper Queen Plaza. And then the fourth fixture is actually an existing fixture that we're moving from a location where it does not need to be over to the information display kiosk that's on the other side of the walkway. So overall, I think this is going to be a terrific improvement to the park. It'll bring more life in the evening, and I think I highly recommend that you move forward with it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hopper, and also I'd like to acknowledge that you're doing this gratis, all of this work, and we sincerely appreciate your help on this. Thank you. Okay, Council.
I just wanted to make an additional comment, and that is that the light fixture C, if you look at historic photographs of Bisbee, predominantly we had this gooseneck, he called it gooseneck lamp. We did not have this, what we think of as historic downtown with a pole with a bulb on the top of that. Right. Never existed in Bisbee, and so that fixture C is exactly, if you look at historic photographs, is what was mostly used historically in old Bisbee. So I certainly reinforce that.
Great, thank you.
I move that we approve then the proposed lighting plan at Grassy Park and the Bisbee Mining and Historical Museum, Phase 3 of the Copper Queen Plaza Revitalization Project.
Thank you. We have a motion. We have a second. All those in favor signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion passes unanimously, 6-0. Item number 4, discussion of possible approval of a notice of intent. Thank you, Mr. Hopper, and thank you, Ms. Cummings. Discussion and possible approval of a notice of intent to adopt ordinance O-1812. Amending the City Code, Article 2.7, Youth Council, Section 2.7.2, Membership, and providing for repeal and severability. Ms. Hansen?
Thank you, Mayor. I'm really pleased with the Youth Council is really getting into a lot of the documents that govern their council. Unfortunately, the chairman is not here because he was going to speak a little bit to this, but basically what this does is we have a lot of youth that, or not a lot, but there's a certain portion of youth that do graduate early and would still like to be part of the youth council. And right now it's written as either 18 or the end of graduating. Well, if they graduated and they're not 18, they still can't be part of the council, so that takes care of this. Now, if they turn 18 and they're on the council, there is a way to grandfather that so that they can finish their term. So that was the whole reason for it. And this is what they wanted to do to make it easier to get people in and to have them to stay.
Questions? And by the way, thank you. The Youth Council is really, it's been gratifying to see that it, for 2 years, came from nothing to operational. So it was great.
We're getting there.
Yes.
Got a really great group of kids on this.
All right. Well, we hope to have the League of Cities and Towns and carrying the flag next time.
That's right.
Next
and they're
time.
Looking forward to it, and they're designing their own flag too for the council themselves.
Oh, good. All right. Okay, do we have a motion?
I move to approve the notice of intent to adopt ordinance 0-18-12 to amending the city code article 2.7 youth council 2.72 membership and providing for repeal and severability.
We have a motion. We have a second. Do we have any discussion? Hearing none. Ms. Coronado.
Councilmember Klein.
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen.
Aye.
Councilmember Davis.
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins.
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Dunn.
Aye.
Mayor Smith.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Item number 5, discussion and possible approval of resolution R-18-19, a resolution of the Mayor and Council, City of Bisbee, County of Cochise and State of Arizona, adopting a notice of intention to increase the wastewater rates and setting the date for a public hearing of the proposed increase on February 5th, 2019 at 7 p.m. May I assume that's a regular council meeting? Okay. So actually what we're looking at is nothing more than a resolution setting the date. And we have, one thing I did want to discuss, and we'll let Mr. Smith do this. This came to the council about the setting of rates. And as I recall, we had many options. And one was not increasing the sewer rates for 3 years, then increasing it for 3%. And my best recollection was 2% the next year and maybe 3% the year after that. And some members of the council said that perhaps we should look at increasing it basically 1% for those first 3 years. And so that's where we're at. I don't believe that a decision has been made.
No, Mayor, we still have the two choices, and I want to thank Carrie for her help with the staff report. In the staff report, we've outlined the rate adjustments that would be necessary year after year for a residential account, and you'll see in one of them we've tried to keep that rate consistent. In another one, it bounces around just a little bit. I wanted to show comparison with other communities here in Arizona. We won't be average, but we won't be outrageously high either. We'll be managing it pretty well outside of that upper quartile.
Thank you. Questions? Mr. Higgins, sir.
So really what we're doing here is we're adopting a notice of intention, which means that we're this will be voted on at a later time, that all we're doing is setting up a meeting to discuss and vote on this.
It is, sir. It's required that we have a public meeting, and this is setting the date of the public meeting.
Thank you.
Mayor?
Sir.
Can I want to add on to your comments here and respond to one of the comments made in general call of public earlier, and that is that comparing our sewer rates with other communities, and that is that comment that I made that, you know, Bisbee is a ridiculous place in which to locate a city. We're spread out, three separate communities, each 5 miles apart. Most, if you've seen when we updated the sewer system, when they tried to dig things a little deeper, how difficult that was. It's pure, pure rock. And not only is it 15 miles from one point, one edge to the other edge of our community with our three different communities, it's another 5 miles into the waste treatment plant. Certainly if you're from the Midwest where I am, where everything is flat and you've got good topsoil and it's pretty easy to dig a trench and put in a sewer system, we don't have that here. As I say, it's kind of a ridiculous place in which to locate a city, but here we are and we love it. Unfortunately, it's one of the added costs of living here. Another comment, I think there's a couple typographical errors. The memo from Mrs. Bagley on November 15th, the table, I think that the two lines are reversed, option one is actually option two and two is one. Also, on the revised report, which I don't have in front of me, it seems to me that table ES5, which is on page 8, is actually titled Scenario 1, which is actually Scenario 2.
Is that on the exhibit, the picture? Because they had both of the scenarios labeled the same.
Correct.
I did ask them to correct that.
Correct, right. That's correct.
Yes, ma'am. Surely.
I don't know. I think the median income of $30,000 to $35,000 is probably huge for this city. I know, because, you know, with just the people I work with, and I've had a couple that are very concerned that if their rates go up, they simply cannot afford it. I mean, and it may not, a dollar, two, three, whatever, may not affect a lot of us, but there are still some that are
sure
very much affected by it. And, I don't know.
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I might suggest that we discuss those things at the time of the meeting. Because all we're doing is voting on having the meeting. So you're absolutely right. Thank you. I'll second that. Ms. Coronado?
Councilmember Klein?
Nay.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Davis?
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Dunn?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion passes 5-1. Item number 6, discussion and possible approval of emergency repair of the UD garbage truck at Mobile Maintenance and Towing, LLC, for the Sanitation Department, cost $5,902.91.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. We've consistently been having trouble with our newer, quote, garbage truck for Old Bisbee. It has an exhaust system that probably wasn't the best design, and it had not been taken care of before we got it. As you know, as you approve the accounts payable, you've probably seen charges for this truck repeatedly. Well, the discussion with our mechanic and myself was, well, if we keep on sending it to the same place and it's still broken, let's find someplace new. And we did. And this is the cost to repair it. They found out the true reason why they're even having issues. We were hoping to get it before Thanksgiving because of the extra trash that we tend to get, but we should be getting it next week, a few days late. But we did authorize. I reached out to legal, the city manager, to make sure that I wasn't violating any rules because this is kind of an emergency repair.
Right.
So I do ask for your approval.
Questions?
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Was this previously being sent to the city of Santa?
No, we have not used the service for this. They historically have used the UD dealer. I'm not sure what UD stands. I've driven a lot of trucks, but never a UD. They have used the authorized UD repair in Tucson. So that's why I went with the mechanic's recommendation of a different company. I would love to explore some more work with the county and service on things. We can do most of the repairs ourselves. I didn't have the time to do it this time. That is something I'm looking into the future, but I can't change it right away.
So, I guess for the city manager, do we still have an IGA with the city of Sierra Vista for mechanical repairs?
We do. We have the ability to go there if we need to.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, sir. Mm-hmm. Any questions? Do we have a motion?
I move to approve the emergency repair of the truck at Mobile Maintenance and Towing, LLC, with a sanitation fund total cost $5,902.91.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. We have a motion. We have a second. All those in favor signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion passes unanimously. Item number 7, discussion of possible approval of a GAP plan billing agreement between Health EMS and the City of Bisbee Fire Department. Chief Castillo, Fire Chief.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. We're requesting you approve this GAP billing agreement between Health EMS and the City of Bisbee Fire Department. Southeastern Arizona Collaborate, which paid Health EMS from a pool of other fire and EMS agencies. Southeast Arizona Collaborate stopped paying into this about a year and a half ago. Health EMS medical software was going through some changes, and I got informed of this change, and for 16 months they charged us, and it was unknown to myself or our EMS coordinator. The amount is for $2,240. Health EMS wanted Bisbee Fire to enter into a contract with them for 5 years at a cost of $10,500 at $175 a month or $2,100 a year to get in this contract, plus a new system setup and collaboration fee of $3,995, total consulting fee of $4,800. So we checked around and found a free software used by other agencies like Douglas and Sunsites Fire called ImageTrend. Right now, we are using ImageTrend because it's free. This software is free to us. But because of the decision not to enter with Health EMS, the contract, they shut down the system on us. We still have numerous calls or reports into that system that need to be pulled for billing purposes. AmbiServe, which is our billing company, uses this system as well to access reports for secondary billing. And they can't get into the access to that either until it's paid. Also, there's some reports needed by Copper Queen Hospital that activated their trauma team that also for billing as well. So in order to get these calls for payment, we have to pay this bill. In order they can open up the system, we can download all the calls, and we can send them out to billing.
And then, Chief, are we good after that point with AmbiServe and the software we're using?
Yes, we've downloaded this into our computers. AmbiServe also downloaded it, so they're now accessed into it, and they are doing the billing off of that, the current calls we're getting now. But the previous calls that we had in there that are locked in there, I'm not sure how many are in there until we access them, but there is outstanding bills that the city hasn't been paid from these medical calls that we need to pull so we can get the city paid on them.
So this is a one-time fix?
This is a one-time thing because we're not entering in this contract
right.
with them.
Okay. And that's why it's a cap. Okay. Any other questions?
How could they shut down that system? What gave them the right to do that?
Well, like I say, it was just a pull from, I was told it was from a Southeastern Arizona collaborator. They pulled in other agencies. It was like a free. And then all of a sudden they started charging certain departments. That's why they left. They never notified us that we of that thing, so for 16 months we were using that system unknowing they were going to charge us for it.
And then they shut it.
And then they shut it down, and so now we don't have access to them calls for billing.
So this will do it?
This will do it. Thanks. And the one we got, I searched around to save the city money. It's free.
All right. Questions? Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve the gap.
We have a motion. We have a second. All those in favor signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Well, that gave us all. Opposed, same sign. Motion is carried unanimously. Thanks, Chief.
Thank you.
Item number 8, discussion of possible approval of the notice of intent to adopt Ordinance 01813 prohibiting the use of handheld mobile telephones or portable electronic devices by adding Article 9.8, distracted driving, to the city code. In essence, this is a sometimes called a hands-free law. Chief.
Mayor, members of the council, members of the public. My name's on this, but
yep.
Chief Castillo and I are kind of on the same page with this. Distracted driving is definitely a problem. There's all kinds of distractions people have in their car. Something as simple as changing the radio station in their car can distract you long enough to have a traffic accident. But these little devices that we all carry, we all use, and we all rely upon every day, they speak for a big number of that. And so this is the ordinance that was brought together. Mr. Hansen helped us out with this and put this all together for us. We reviewed it. My staff has reviewed it. Chief Castillo has reviewed it. And I feel personally it answers some of those concerns and addresses some of those problems. AAA accounts that distracting drive, AAA states distracted driving accounts for 25 to 50% of all accidents. It is a huge problem. The 9-plus people per day in 2016 died due to distracted driving. 9-plus per day. It's a huge problem. And as of yet, the legislation for the state of Arizona has not enacted a distracted driving law, per se, a primary offense. This makes up for that. Now, it does still allow for certain emergency situations. If you're in a situation where you need to call a 911, for example, an emergency response dispatcher, the ordinance allows for you to do that. It allows for you to talk on your phone so long as you're using a hands-free device. If your phone is mounted to your dash and a car holder or a phone holder and attached to your Bluetooth system, you could talk as you're driving down the road, but you can't manipulate it, and you shouldn't be fiddling with the numbers as you're driving down the road. This is a primary offense, so if the police officer sees you doing these things as you're driving down the street, this gives him the authority to stop you for that. It's not a secondary offense, which would be like a seatbelt violation that he could ask you about after the issue. So definitely something we feel strongly about. I can tell you, the police department, in my history, we've never tracked this specific thing. So in order to find numbers on how many distracted driving accidents we've had in the city of Bisbee, that'd be a huge challenge, because we'd have to go report by report by report, because this in itself is not something we track. But I can tell you, being a police officer here for 19 plus years, their accidents are caused by inattention and by distraction, and those can be avoidable, and we need to take action to make them such. So I'll let Chief Castillo add anything.
And you guys get to pick them up afterwards.
Yeah, just like Chief Achavi said, I support this decision as well. From the numerous accidents we've been on, most of them are distracted drivers. A lot of them we've asked, you know, they were playing with their phone or social media and while driving. It seems to be done a lot by teenagers and adults. But, yeah, we're looking for this to pass so we can kind of reduce the accidents in the city limits and surrounding areas that we respond to.
Great. Thank you. And obviously there's a number of jurisdictions throughout the state of Arizona and counties. Pima County is an example, but we have other jurisdictions of cities and towns that this is illegal. So.
That is correct. Oro Valley recently, Prescott, City of Prescott was in the process of working on theirs, mm-hmm. City of Surprise, and Yavapai County also, as well as many others. But that's just some of the most
yeah.
latest to add to that.
You bet. Ms. Hansen, you had a question.
Yes, I do. Since we're a tourist town, obviously we're going to be getting people from all over Arizona and other places. Is there any mechanism to let people know or get that word out?
There's signs.
There are going to be signs?
There's
okay.
signs.
Thank you.
With my traveling, I see it all the time. You know, this is a hands-free community.
Yes. Right. And I think it's important to note also that, as with any traffic violation, the discretion falls upon the officer who witnesses that violation and who conducts that traffic stop. That officer has the discretion to issue a verbal warning if need be, or if it's serious or a near accident event, that something's more serious, and they have that ability to write that traffic ticket. Some officers are affected by this more than others. I know of people who have lost their lives due to distraction and traffic accidents. As simple as dropping a CD on the floorboard and reaching down to pick it up. Mm-hmm. And fatality. One of my classmates right here out on Highway 80 several years ago. But it's that distraction is a big deal. So some officers might say, much like child restraints, there's no warnings. Your child should be in restraint, and there's no warning, you shouldn't be on your phone. Again, that comes down to the officer's discretion, and it would be the officer who would be testifying to that before the magistrate if there was a citation that was fought in
right.
court.
Thanks, Chief.
Yes.
Ms. Klein, did you have something? Nope.
All right. Do we have I just comment that
I'm
personally suffering from declining vision, and I'm increasingly aware that Bisbee is just one big curve. You know, we don't have any straight road anywhere that if you're going down, you say, well, you know, I'm going ahead, and there's a curb waiting for you every few feet. I mean, it's
kind of like when you were a kid and walking to school and back uphill both ways.
But if you're not alert, you're going to hit a curb. I mean, that's what I'm finding in terms of declining vision, and this is even more important here in Bisbee. So
absolutely.
That's a fact.
That is a fact. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Do we have a motion?
I move to approve. Move to approve the notice of intent to adopt ordinance 0-18-13 prohibiting the use of handheld mobile devices or portable electronic devices by amending Chapter 9 and adding Article 9.8, distracted driving, to the city code.
Second. Okay, we have a motion. We have a second. Ms. Cornetto.
Councilmember Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Davis?
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Dunn?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Chief Castillo. And Chief Achava, you're still there.
Yes,
discussion,
sir.
Item number 9, discussion of possible approval to allow mayor and council to go into an agreement between Arizona Department of Homeland Security for Operation Stone Garden Award number 160430-01 and the police department in the amount of $17,105 for relocation of 2016 funds to Operation, I'm sorry, to include overtime, employee-related expenses, and mileage. And I might add, I think this is our second time that we've moved this forward.
This is actually reallocation of funds for 2016. So the first one was the original grant for this year, which was about $17,000. This is funds that were distributed throughout the state that other agencies weren't able to use.
Oh, okay.
It comes back to the to the group, and it gets redistributed amongst the other agencies. So these are funds that are being reallocated from fiscal year 16 that they're still trying to get spent. So that's
and you want to help spend them.
Yeah, well, my officers would love the opportunity to help spend them, yes.
Absolutely. Do we have questions? Hearing none, do we have a motion?
I move to allow the mayor and council to go into an agreement between Arizona Department of Homeland Security for Operation Stone Garden Award number 160430-01 and the police department in the amount of $17,105 for reallocation of 2016 funds to include overtime, employee-related expenses, and mileage.
We have a second.
Second.
We had one here, but we got a third. Ms. Coronado?
Councilmember Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Davis?
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Dunn?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
And I will stand by the sign. Item number 10. Discussion of possible approval of an engagement of Mark Reeder Stifel for financial services. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I believe in a prior work session, Matt Vaccaro and I have presented some thoughts to Council about conversion of our streetlights to LED and improvement of some of our pumps and equipment at the wastewater treatment plant to reduce electrical consumption. Arizona has a provision for that under legislative act in Title 34, which binds the company that creates the project to make up the difference if the energy savings doesn't reduce by the project cost amount. At the time that we discussed this, there were some questions about financial structure and how it would be paid for and where those funds would come from and what would it cost. And in order to provide that to council, we need some research done in Arizona's lending markets, particularly with WIFA, because some of the funds would come as a subsidized grant through WIFA. Mr. Reeder is especially familiar with that area. He has shopped Arizona's lending markets for us before. He's the professional we use for the wastewater debt restructuring, and I believe he's the professional that helped us with the origination loan for the wastewater treatment plant. He and Stifel are very good at doing this. They're very familiar with the lending instruments, and his expertise is needed to shop that. So in order for me to bring something back for you to consume and understand, I need to have someone who's familiar with those lending markets produce a plan for you. Mr. Reeder is willing to do that. engagement of his services comes at no cost unless you decide to do the project. So if all you want from him is research, he can run the numbers for you if you will engage him at no cost. If you choose at a later date to pursue the project, based on the engagement letter, you're bound to use his services and to pay him for it.
Great. Questions? Ms. Klein.
Okay, so we would only pay if we move forward with the project, but what is that fee?
I don't know. It's some percentage of the amount of money that's financed. I would assume it would be similar to the percentages that were paid when we refinanced the wastewater debt.
Okay, so refresh my memory. What was the percentage?
I don't recall.
Hmm? Well, no, that was our finance rate. That wasn't how much he charged. Yeah.
I do not believe that we are able to do that, and that's the reason why Stifel and Mr. Reeder and professionals like him are here. They represent cities in front of WIFA's board on a regular basis to request and apply for financing. They also shop the bond market and the private market. That's where our loan instrument came from to restructure the wastewater debt.
Right. These cities include Phoenix and Tucson and the largest cities in the state, not just small ones where we have a finance department that might be understaffed. It's a pretty sophisticated financial undertaking, and so that's what they do for cities.
Our finance department is overworked right now, and to do something like that would take how many hours? It would be a full-time project for a pretty long time, and I don't think that we should have to burden them with that when they're trying to keep up with what they're doing now and to improve the system. I just don't think that's fair to do.
One thing to look at, perhaps, is that engaging him to do the research is free. And if we want to act on that research, then that does cost. But even if we had finance in a position that they could do this, then we're paying them to do the research.
Mayor, I haven't done this before, but I believe I could get a list of the certifications that are necessary to act within the capacity that Mr. Reeder and his firm acts, and I could bring that to the council if that would be helpful.
Yeah, well, that's what I was trying to get at, is that Ms. Bagley, with all due respect, does not have the certifications or the experience to go before WIFA and negotiate a loan.
Yes, sir, and it may be that WIFA is only part of the financing solution.
Right. I was just using that as an example.
Yes.
Exactly. Mr. Higgins.
It seems in some ways that we're putting the cart before the horse here just a little bit. You know, we don't know that that when this comes before the council that this is going to be approved. I understand the idea of having this lined up so that if it was approved by the council, then we would already have something in place. But I'm afraid that we're going to burden Mr. Reeder with doing this work, doing his research for us, and then there's a good possibility that it won't pass. And then Mr. Reeder has been unduly burdened by us for no reason. So I think, you know, we maybe we would want to decide what we're going to do about Siemens, first, and then come back and talk about this. Because it seems like lining up the financing for a project that we actually haven't decided that we're going to do just doesn't seem to make sense.
I think that the reason that this has come up is because the last time we talked about this, people wanted to know about what the financing might possibly be. And really, to make a decision on this, that's part of that. You need to know, you know, you can't really decide without knowing what potentially we're going to spend when you get the money and all of that. So I think if we go back again without doing this piece of it, the council won't be able to make a decision.
That's a good point.
It's kind of chicken and the egg.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, that's a good point. How would exactly they know, how much this, Siemens hasn't done a survey yet. How would they actually be able to advise Mr. Reeder about, we're going to need this much money? I mean, can they do that without actually surveying the town? They can do that, Mr. Smith?
Councilman, yes, that's exactly the next work that would take place. And trust me, you will not offend Mr. Reeder if you engage him and you decide you don't want to do the project. He does this all the time.
Okay. Yeah, Mayor, the exciting part of Title 34 legislation is there's finance component here. And otherwise, these energy efficient improvements, we would have to fund them item by item out of our own annual budget, and the fact that we can package them with the through Siemens here and then market them as whether it's revenue bonds or whatever, and he certainly will know
the way to go.
Way to go in terms of how can we get this done with the cheapest interest rate, as he did with refinancing of our waste treatment plant.
Right.
Certainly moving forward with the Title 34 without a finance package doesn't make any sense at all. So? Okay, I move approval of engagement of Mark Reeder for financial services.
I second that.
We have a motion. We have a second. Ms. Coronado.
Councilmember Klein. Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Davis?
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Dunn?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion passes 5-1. Do you have a city manager's report, Mr. City Manager?
Mayor, actually I do, and I'm sorry to hold you here, but I wanted to give you guys a few pieces of information. You'll see this in the paper hopefully soon. We were just looking at budgeted expenditures, and this year's budget is considerably smaller than last year's budget. Last year's budget was about $20 million. This year's budget is about $16 million. And I wanted to give council some preliminary figures on our 17-18 year. Our actual revenue over expenditures numbers, if you discount the fire, we spent $500,000 on the fire, and we got $2.6 million from the insurance company, if you discount that. We actually are finishing up that year with $100,000 left over. And I think this is the first time we've finished a period in the black in a long, long time, so I'm really excited about that. I also wanted to add, I've heard some people that have expressed some fear that we're outsourcing and we're reducing our employment here in the city. We did eliminate 3 part-time positions this last year, but we added 9 full-time positions this year. So, I get it that we did lose a couple of part-time positions, but adding 9 full-time positions within a smaller budget, working with the issues that our staff has had to work with, is pretty incredible. I've been really impressed. I just wanted to mention that we are attempting to work with Tucson's Habitat for Humanity, as well as Step Up Bisbee. We're meeting with folks about low and moderate income housing. We're looking forward to pulling a project proposal together for council to look at. I've also been talking with the Council of Governments, CGO. They have CDBG and home grant savvy people, I would like to create a housing rehabilitation program here. The state has about $300,000 a year that they can provide to the city, and qualifying applicants who meet the income restrictions can get up to $40,000 of work done on their home. So we want to keep that $300,000 rolling in year after year. Also, I wanted to say that the work that we're doing with the county on public works trucks and police cars is turning out really well for us. We've gotten, I think, 4 police cars now, is that right? 5? And we have about as many public works trucks that have been retired out of county service, and some of them we're taking care of ourselves. We have our own garage and we do our own maintenance work, but some of them we're letting the county fleet guys continue to maintain. So we're trying to optimize how we spend our money to get the best bang for our buck there. And I've seen some confusion out there about what we're doing with the county and county development services. We are spending $2,500 a month with county development services. For that, we have Mr. Paul Esparza's help with planning and zoning work, as well as design review board work. And county planners are also helping us apply for a state historic preservation grant of $20,000 to help us get the Warren Historic District finished. And the county planners are also working to get our zoning maps in their GIS system so that anybody with access to the internet can pull up a map of Bisbee and see where their property is and find out what the zoning is and drill into that. So we're very proud of what we're getting in terms of cooperative support from the county. And with that, Mayor, I'd end my report.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Yes?
I move that we adjourn.
Do we have a second? All those in favor of adjournment signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. We're unanimous. We are adjourned.